many people are living under such high level of sensory overload that they don't understand why when something very small sets them off. I understand that rest should equal restoration. So if you're gonna tell me that you're gonna spend the weekend resting, my first question is, what's being restored? If you can't answer that, then it really was an intentional rest, because you should walk away from every restful moment better than how you entered into the moment.
Today we have a guest that is going to share about something that I know I struggle with myself, because I'm a little bit of a workaholic at times. The idea about rest. Now, when we hear the word, you're like, oh my gosh, especially if you like doing things and you're a go-getter. Resting can come sometimes be super hard. So we're going to dive into how we can actually find some actual tips about how we can find rest with what, you know, we're doing every day, because we're all busy. I know that. So we're going to dive right in. But our guest today is Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith. She's an author, a TEDx speaker, a board certified internal medicine physician. Mm-hmm. And she helps burnt out individuals deal with their work-rest imbalance and find actionable answers to their thriving lifestyle they desire. She's an international wellness expert. She's been featured in numerous media outlets, as well as a guest on the Dr. Oz show. She's the author of numerous books, including Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. It includes groundbreaking insight on the 7 types of rest needed to optimize the productivity, increase your overall happiness, and overcome burnout and live your best life. So I'm so excited. Welcome to the show, Sandra. So excited to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, this is something I know we need to dive into, because this is a practical part of our life that we often say, oh, I'm too busy to sleep. Oh, I'm too busy for that. We try to fit so much into our lives. And you know this firsthand as a physician, and having written the books and kind of seen the gamut. And I know you have a lot of great content you're going to give us today. But before we get into that, just tell our audience a little bit about you and how you got doing what you're doing today.
Well, what I'm doing today was not planned, but the medical part was. I think I've always wanted to be a physician. As long as I can remember, that was the only profession that I really had thought about. I've always loved books, but I never put the two together as far as that as being a part of my career. The speaking and the coaching really came after I reached my own point of burnout. I got to a place in my life where I really couldn't find the answers that I was looking for just through traditional medicine. And so I felt like there, as someone who likes to combine the spiritual part of myself with the physical part, I really felt that there was a gap there in medicine and how we treat people. You know, we were really focused on getting the physical aspect down, and we were moving more into the mental, the psychological, but there was this gap between combining all three, the mind, body, and the spirit. And so that's really where it started for me. I wanted to give people a higher level of medical care.
And definitely, I mean, as a woman of faith, we know, you know, you can't walk this life separating parts of yourself. Your mind and your body and your soul are all connected, which is great, which is why I love what you're doing and how you're really infusing that. Because I think a lot of us, you know, especially if we have ailments, we like the first thing we do is we grab, you know, the pills to kind of, you know, we don't ever deal with what's going on inside. And I know for my audience, you know, what I've written before is that a lot about the soul work, you know, really forgiveness and taking care of yourself, which is why we need to dive into that. So knowing this, and you mentioned in your book that you've got these 7 types of sacred rest. Now, explain to me a little bit about the sacred rest part. Why is that so important?
Well, I think that the issue is we really see rest now in our culture as this bad thing, that I'll get to rest when I die. I'll rest when I have time. It's like this extra commodity that you get around to if you have room in your life for, but you will never have room in your life, and you will never be able to really work at your optimal capacity without the rest. And so often I see people who have great potential burn out and not able to fully use their potential because they refuse the rest. And to me, that's the part that's sacred about it. It's a command, even all the way back through the 10 commandments. So we're commanded to rest from the very beginning. But I think even more important than that is that as believers, if we look at really how rest was first introduced within just the paradigm of living, you know, man and animals were created on the 6th day. On the 7th day, it says God rested in Genesis. You don't even see man working until the 2nd chapter. So we always go at work and rest from the mindset of, I need to work to earn my rest. Or even if we look at from the very beginning, we were made to really work from a place of rest. Rest was where we were placed before we ever went into the rest was where we were placed before we ever went into the work. And so I think for most people, that's a complete mindset shift. It's a countercultural approach to actually doing your best work. It's not about grinding the work out of yourself. It's allowing it to flow from you from a place of rest.
So kind of like the hustle till you drop, or, you know, the struggle is real. And, you know, it's kind of like we wear that as a badge. I think it'd be almost like a sense of pride, like, hey, I'm so busy and I'm doing all these things and I'm wearing myself out, as if we're meant to be proud of ourselves for that. But I know, I'll admit, I went through this process about 3 years ago. I wasn't very kind to myself. I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And with a combination of a business failure, my mother-in-law passing away from cancer, and a child who was having severe mental illness, I literally, my body packed in. I couldn't move. I couldn't get out of bed for like 6 weeks. I was just very depressed and sad. I didn't have an appetite. And I was like, what the heck is going on with me? But it's like, I didn't see the signs, right? I wasn't taking care of myself. Like, oh, as you said, I'll get to rest later. Like, that's for people who don't have time, you know? So how do we take that? It's kind of like you said, the mental shift, like in the moment, because I know we say the word rest, and sometimes when I say, like even my husband says to me, yeah, you need a rest, and like insert eye roll, like when, right? How does that practically break down in our lives? Like, what actionable tips could you help the audience?
Well, I think the first thing is to realize that rest is not this just one big thing that you have to go after. I think that's why so many people feel like rest fails them. They look at rest and in their head, they flip that to mean sleep. So they think, I'm tired, so I must just need more sleep. And so they try that, or they try laying around watching Netflix for 8 hours on the weekend, or just sitting doing nothing for a short season of period. And they say, rest didn't work for me. I tried it. But what they're not understanding is they're calling something rest that truly isn't rest. The key thought process that most people have to flip in their head is that rest should equal restoration. And so it's restoration in one of the seven areas where we tend to pour ourselves out. And those areas include the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. Those are the three most people are well familiar with. And then the other four are the emotional, the social, the sensory, and the creative. And those are the ones that most people are lacking in, because they have never associated them as a place that they could need rest. So they never even pursue or intentionally try to get rest in those areas.
So that's an interesting concept. So like, let's just take one, for example, you mentioned creativity, which is like, interesting. I never thought about it that way. How would that break down into, you know, resting in creativity? Because for me, creativity means action and doing things like, oh, I have an idea for a book, or, you know, I have an idea of this project I want to do, so I've got to get busy doing stuff. How do you rest in your creativity?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that point up, because that's the thing. People who are creative, not just with books and with art and with music, but who are creative mentally, who are innovative, who are forerunners, who are on the cutting edge of their business industry as entrepreneurs, they are creatively using energy. And so because they are using energy, logic suggests that you can be drained in that area. So then the question arises, how do you pour back in? How do you restore the energy creatively that you are using? And that's what creative rest is restoring that energy. And so that could look like for someone, you may even be someone who've experienced this, going outside in nature, being around bodies of water. It's really allowing art and beauty to inspire and awaken something inside of you. That is what creative rest looks like. And so for some, it's natural experience, going to the mountains and they get motivated and inspired, going to the beach and all of a sudden they get this kind of energy that comes back where they feel inspired. For others, it could be listening to beautiful music. For someone else, it could be going to the theater. For others, it could be walking around a museum. Someone else, it could be looking at architecture from the outside, not even going inside the building. It's whatever's inspiring you to want to produce more in the world, to give more of yourself, because that's really what creativity is. It's how we give of ourselves. It's how we take our unique experiences, our unique gifts and talents, and then we sculpt them into whatever it is our offering is to the world. And then we give it back to the world. But we first have to let something be awakened inside of us for that to even bloom into something that we can give.
So I like what you said, you have to fill it up. If we had to think of ourselves as a bucket, right? If you, especially when we're in that situation in life, whether you're a busy mom and you're an entrepreneur, you feel like you're giving, giving, giving. And I know I have this problem too, is that you get to that stage where you don't take the time to keep filling it. So eventually when you get to the bottom of the barrel, then everything, the toys fall off the bus, you know, like the rest goes, your moods go, your relationships get affected. And I love how you say that it's not actually, well, we say it's rest, but like even like going to the theater, like I didn't think of it that way, but it's like, oh, I'll get inspired. I'll go watch the Nutcracker Ballet. I'm like, you know, I was just thinking, and it's kind of like that shower experience. You know, you're standing in the shower and you're not actually thinking. And all of a sudden you have this light bulb moment. I should make a pen that actually you can write in the shower, I tell you. But I love that idea. So it's kind of like taking the experiences and our interests and what we like and kind of just going and enjoying yourself and without any sort of reservations or expectations. I mean, that's probably what it is, right? There's that pressure we put on ourselves.
You're intentionally allowing it to kind of fill you back up, to restore what you pour out. And so even with all the other types of rest, it works the same way. When you look at where you're pouring out in your life, where is it that you're getting exhausted? Because every type of fatigue is not physical. And so is it emotionally that you're fatigued because you're working with kids, or you're maybe you work in an industry where you have to deal with people all day and then all their attitudes and all their personalities? So where is it you're pouring out? And then are you intentionally doing something to restore that specific energy drain in your life? Because if you're not, then you're going to be tired, and it doesn't matter how much sleep you get, you're still going to be tired because you have a rest deficit in that specific area.
And it's true. It's like no matter how much you sleep and you wake up, you're like, why am I still frustrated, or why am I still feeling ill? It's because there's probably something in the soul that we haven't dealt with, or that we're just not allowing ourselves to breathe. So how would we be able to identify those things? Is it, do you, would you suggest that we go and try new things? Or like say for a busy mom, of course, she's especially in those busy years, those first 7 years of babies and diapers, it's hard for her to feel like she can get rest. What kind of like practical solutions would you say, like breaking it down on a daily basis, we could give them some tips?
Well, the very first thing I usually have my patients do, because that was the key area where they had the biggest kind of leap of faith. You know, once they recognize, okay, I understand that there's seven types, how do I know which one I need? I think I need all seven. That's part of the reason I created the free rest assessment at restquiz.com, because so many people had such difficulty determining which of the seven types. For me, the very kind of more of an organic way of doing that was I started looking at my life and where it is I tend to feel depleted. So for example, I'm a physician, so I'm at my office. I find that when I start off the morning, I'm smiling, I'm joking with my patients, I'm finding out what their grandkids and their, you know, all these people are doing in their family. By 2 o'clock, I'm like, okay, get in, get out the door. And I'm the same doctor. You know, my personality hasn't changed. I'm the same person. So why is it now my temper is shorter with my nurse and with my staff? Why is it now I don't have the capacity anymore to listen to the 15, you know, classes your student got an A in? Why is it something's changed? What's changed is my capacity for compassion has been drained. And I've done nothing in between the morning and the evening to help restore that back up. And so what I had to start doing was to being very practical in that I'm pouring out in people's lives all day. And unless I'm very intentional, I will go months without allowing myself to be poured back into. And so there are some people in my life who I'm able to reach out to when I get to that point, and who I was able to just be very honest with and saying, you know, it would really help me if just whenever God lays it on your heart, send me a little message. You know, I may not reply back, but just send a little text or a Facebook Messenger post, just something that lets me know that God brought me to mind. And when I started asking a few people to do that, what I find is it seems like on the days when I am getting the most drained emotionally with people, I'll look down at my cell phone at lunch and there'll be a little text that says, hey, sis, just letting you know I was praying for you today. God sees you and loves you, and so do I. I mean, it's such a simple thing, but it meant so much. It helped me start getting an understanding that I have to allow myself, first of all, to be vulnerable enough to say I need support. and I need to know that you're supporting me. And also to be open to stop long enough in my day to receive that, to take a walk outside, to have a spiritual rest moment in the middle of my day where if no one else is affirming me, I can go outside and do a walk around and just praise God in those moments and let him affirm me in that time.
I love that part where you said reaching out, because I know a lot of myself included, not very good at asking for help. I'm great at giving help, and if there's something to be, I'll get there, and I'm, you know, ready to run into the fire. But when it comes to like me needing help, I'm like, oh, I'll get to it later, it's not that important, you know. Especially when you're a mom, you kind of start putting things down at the bottom of the list, and I think that's so important, right? Is unless you have other people that, as you said, you could be transparent and honest with, which is why I love the idea of community, even if it's a small group of people that you can rely on and just pray with you, because, you know, none of us have got it all together. We're all dealing with life in different ways. So I love that part about, you know, just reaching out and the little moments. That's so true, right? Even like it's just a little meme or a little text. It's like, hey, okay, it's kind of like a God wink. He's actually watching us and he's paying attention. So what other tip could you say would be really, really vital in order for us to sort of recoup that rest? Any sort of particular habit or, you know, thing to do or not to do?
Well, you mentioned about moms and groups. I think that's a huge thing for a lot of people. It's feeling as if they don't have time to get together. Adults don't have a lot of adult friends. You know, we tend to focus our attention more on the relationships that are the demanding, draining relationships. And when I say draining, I don't mean negative relationships. They're just draining by the nature of how they are structured. So your relationship with your children, with your spouse, there are things they need from you. You know, your elderly parents. There are things they need from you. Not that they're bad, it's just the relationship pulls on you. And so I think it's important for most people to be aware of what social rest looks like in their life. Because when I say that, I'm not saying to turn off social media. You know, that's actually more in the sensory rest capacity. What I'm saying with social rest looks like allowing people to pour into you in a way that is face-to-face and personal. And so because so often we feel like our time is limited, we feel like we don't have opportunities for coffee dates and girl nights and those kind of things. So what I find a lot of mom groups getting benefit from are virtual coffee dates. Just like we're conversing, you know, right now, I can see you, you can see me, I can see your mannerisms, I can see your head nods and all of those things to let me know that you're connected with what I'm saying, that we're having kind of a moment to be able to share with each other. Well, the same benefit in science that we get from the personal one-on-one eye-to-eye contact when we're across from each other is still manifested when we are doing it on a screen where we can see the other person. And so if your friend is, you know, 20 miles away and you just can't get to her for a coffee date because you both have little ones at home, can you stop for 5 minutes to have a virtual coffee date with each other every Wednesday where you know that you have this time that you can actually speak with someone who truly understands what's going on in your life because they're in the same position? And there's a lot of benefit with that because it, first of all, overcomes that I'm the only one, you know, that often happens when you're in a bad spot. Plus, you're able to have someone that is kind of uplifting you out of that moment as well.
Kind of like you meet a good friend, you go like, pull yourself together, woman. Yeah. We'd be having those little pity parties and be like, oh no, I can't do this. This is so annoying. And it's like, it's okay, let's just get some, you know.
You know, I take that excuse away of, well, I can't break away, I don't have a babysitter. You don't have to have a babysitter for a virtual coffee date.
Exactly. Now, you did mention, as in, I know we could go into all the I could sit and talk about this all day, but let's just pick one. Like you mentioned the sensory. Let's just wrap that up with the sensory part and why that is also so important. Because I know all of us stuck with the phones against our faces. I know myself, I had to like delete Facebook and Instagram from my phone for a while because I just was like, every 5 seconds, right?
Yeah, we are sensory overloaded, and social media, although it has its benefits and its bonuses, have, and really the whole technology with iPhones has made it so that we are so connected to our electronics that honestly, for many people, it's become a slave master. That phone rings or dings or whatever the little sound is or buzz that happens, we instantly feel like we have to pick it up and check it. It's like our control of letting it just sit there has just evaporated. And the problem with that is that many people, their stress level is significantly higher. Just their chronic stress level is staying at a higher range because it's almost like a doctor being on call. when I'm on call, I'm on hyper alert. So I'm ready for the pager to go off because I know I'm needed and I'm going to need to respond quickly. What happens when everybody's entire world looks like that? They're sitting on edge, waiting on the next text or instant message to come through to see what the response needs to be. And it just creates this kind of chronic toxicity that people are living with. And the problem with that is many people are living under such high level of sensory overload that they don't understand why when something very small sets them off. So your kids come home from school and they have not done anything wrong. And they just say, "Mom, what's for dinner?" And you just about take someone's head off because you're already on edge because of all the different sensory inputs, whether that was little ones with high-pitched voices screaming over Legos all day, or you were at work with, you know, the bright lights and the screens, and you're not sure where all of this tension's coming from. For many, it's coming from a chronic sensory overload. And so some very simple things that help with that include really getting back to an appreciation of darkness and silence. I mean, think about the amount of time we have TVs on in our home and no one's really watching, or the radio's playing in the background in your car and you're not really listening because you're zoning out because your head wants to go to a quiet place, but we won't turn off the noise so that we can actually assist in getting to that quiet place.
It's kind of like we've trained ourselves, like you mentioned, like it's like somebody in the army, like a soldier in the army in combat mode. You're like, you're ready to fight, like you're ready with your fists up there, you know, and it's very exhausting, like living on the edge like that. And I find myself like that. I can feel like the cortisol levels increase, you know, I get more like sore throats and just, you know, as you mentioned, you know, our patience runs thin. So I think it is very important to understand that and taking that time. I don't know, we say it, but it's actually like start with 5 minutes or switch the phone off or like little habits like that, right? Just to kind of, but I think what we mentioned today, which I think is super important, is awareness. I think if we kind of going around, we just don't even realize we have a problem is the big problem. So the fact that we're highlighting it today, we know that these are issues that we can kind of take them and sort of look at them and say, well, maybe how is this affecting me? Because sometimes, as you said, you don't relate the two, like the bad moods, it's because you're overstimulated. So that's so, so great. So if we had to wrap it up into one takeaway, so what would you tell everybody?
The number one takeaway is to understand that rest should equal restoration. So if you're going to tell me that you're going to spend the weekend resting, my first question is, what's being restored? If you can't answer that, then it really was an intentional rest, because you should walk away from every restful moment better than how you entered into the moment.
Well, those are great words, definitely. Rest equals restoration. We want to feel energized. We want to walk away from that, whether it's having a good nap or going to watch a really a funny movie at the movie house in the dark. you can pick whatever is appropriate. So that is totally awesome. Well, I so appreciate that. But before we actually wrap up, would you mind praying with our audience?
I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to find a way to get to the best place in our life. The area of our life that we are able to lay down the stress, lay down the desire to keep pushing and grinding when your grace is present and available. Help us to see those moments where rest is most needed. Help us to recognize those areas of our lives that need to have a new understanding of what it looks like to work from a place of rest, and encourage us and empower us to be able to take the necessary steps. Give us courage and the ability to trust you more as we learn how to rest in you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. I always love these prayers because it's, you know, energized, whether you're on the treadmill, in the carpool line, or taking a jog down the road. It's always nice to know that there are other people who are thinking and praying for you, who are living in this, who are in the same situation, because, you know, that's why we are called Body of Christ, so we can lift each other up. Well, tell everybody, what's the best place they can get in touch with you and find you online and your books and resources?
Absolutely. Well, the best place to reach me is on my website at ichoosemybestlife.com. And I highly recommend visiting restquiz.com. It's a free assessment. And I think that's where most people get their aha moment, when they are able to see that's the one that I'm having the biggest deficit in. And then you don't have to try to focus on all seven. You can focus your attention on the one where you're having the biggest drain in your life.
That's great. Well, I'm definitely going to take that quiz as soon as we get off of today's call. Because I'm like, let me see, right? Because you can tell that agitation. You're like, what is it? What is it? So I love quizzes and I love taking those tests. And for those who are listening, whatever platform you are listening on, we'll have the links below. So make sure to click on the link to the show notes. So whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on iTunes or your favorite platform. And if you enjoyed what we had to say today, make sure to share it with your friends. If you found value in what Sandra had to say, make sure to share it with someone. I'm sure you know at least someone who can really do with hearing what we have to say today. So make sure and do that today. And leave your comments, any aha moments, any areas or insight that you want to discuss in. We would love to hear back from you. And if you want more freebie resources that I only share with my newsletter community, go to mamikakuni.com, and I have a bunch of things, as well as a quiz to figure out where you are if you are in the writing stage and that's something you want to do, or if you want to join our free Facebook group where we have some extra goodies with some screensavers and some prayer guides as well. Go to mamikakuni.com. So I've got to say thanks so much, Sandra, for joining me today. It's been a total delight chatting to you, and I'm so glad we made today happen.
Yes, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thanks again. Until next time, everyone, take care. If you want more free resources that we only share with our newsletter community, go to mamikakuni.com and sign up today. We have great resources like ebooks, inspirational screensavers, printables, and exclusive access to our community.